Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
So the crisis of the morning, as I detailed at the beginning of the show today, was the face mask that I'm wearing. And I am one of those face mask snobs. I wear it all the time, unless I'm by myself.
And you were by yourself.
Myself. I came to the station this morning. I put my mask on, you know, in my car to come upstairs. You know, I have to go in the germ-filled elevator and the germ-filled lobby and the, you know, germ-filled everything. I had already had a couple of pretty huge cups of iced coffee at this point. And I had to do what any man my age would have to do after a couple of giant iced coffees. I had to stop in the WGN men's room on the way. So I'm by myself in the men's room. I undo my mask on one side. You know, it's because it's a little more comfortable and you can breathe a little better. But, you know, so I'm standing there and with the mask, and the mask, unbeknownst to me, falls from my ear down into the porcelain facility. And I'm standing there going, well, now what do I do? It's like, obviously, I can't put it back on, but I don't want to leave it there. You can't flush a mask down the toilet. It's got that metal strip in it, and I'm pretty sure it's not biodegradable.
Modern technology took care of it for you.
What do I do? Do I reach in and grab it? Do I just, like, there's nothing to, I don't want to just put my hand in there. And and as Shawnee said, modern technology made the decision for me.
Yes, it did.
Because we have automatic everything in our restrooms here. The toilet flushed by itself when I moved. And there goes my face mask. And now I don't have a face mask to go home.
And you've been receiving all kinds of suggestions.
This is all we have been receiving on the text line this morning.
So to quote a popular song that was popular when you and I were young men, you felt all flush with fever, right?
Here's my favorite text of the whole morning, though. There's all just all kinds of texts about this very serious and important subject. But my favorite text of the whole morning that said, Dean, if you have to remove your face mask to pee, maybe you're not wearing it in the right place. Now you tell me.
Yeah. Oh. So. Wow.
Wardrobe malfunction.
This is one for the books. When we began this morning, I wondered, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah.
Well, you came up with an interesting topic, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, we've got all kinds of very serious show preparation that we put together for the show. And sometimes things happen that just take over.
Yep.
And mask gate.
You had a mascident.
A mascident.
A mascident.
As Shawnee has been calling it. But I don't know who sent that text in, but that was the funniest damn
that
text.
That was the one
that I've seen in a long time. And from there, we go to, I'll bet Dr. Kevin Most isn't regretting not being on the show now for several weeks. After you see our serious talk that we're having about masks.
He will have an answer for you.
And protection. Dr. Kevin Most, who is...
I can hear him laughing.
Our friend who is, one of the great experts, Vice President, Medical Affairs, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, joining us on the phone line. You've been wearing masks way before the pandemic. You must have had odd things happen with your mask.
Dean, I can tell you that I don't know how many radio and TV programs I've done about COVID. That's the first time in 3.5 months I've heard anything even remotely close to that. So kudos to you. You bring up something new here in COVID land.
find something new to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, now my dilemma is, you know, I got to go in the elevator. I got to walk in public places to get to my car again. I got to find, you know, like something to shield my face now because I am a mask snob. I feel like if you're not wearing a mask, you're, you know, selfish and uncaring of other people. And even though it's just a short distance to get to my car, I feel like I need to do this. And I think you probably agree with me on this, right? That you should have a mask on at all times if you're in public somewhere.
I definitely do. And, you know, anybody who listens to you knows how passionate you are about this. Now, if they see you, they're like, wait. He says one thing, but he does something else. I mean, I don't want to say that that's anyone else in the world is doing that, but, you know, that is a concern. But I would hope in the studios up there you can rifle through someone's office and find a box of masks.
Maybe. But, I mean, I could even just put some paper towels or something in front of my mouth until I get to the car, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, Sunday, there's a good chance you're going to ride that elevator by yourself because you have to remember that, you know, the mask is who it's protecting and what that's doing. That mask that you're wearing is protecting others from you. So right. If you're the only one in the elevator, you're okay. And you're the only one in the garage. You get to your car without really running into anybody on a Sunday midday. You might be okay, actually.
Yeah, I just still feel like, you know, everybody needs to do it, you know, regardless of if it falls in the toilet or not.
Yeah. And Dean, your message right there is probably the biggest message right now is that as we go into phase four, I can tell you the biggest concern that we all have in the medical field is complacency. People are going to start to say, oh, you know, we're past this. Look how much we've improved.
Right.
And all I can say to that is three words, you know, Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
Well, you know, yes. I mean, in the other statistics as of this morning, you know, those three states, but there are only two states in all of America that are reporting a decline in coronavirus cases. Everybody else is up. Not as much as Arizona, Florida, and Texas. But everybody else, including Illinois, everybody else is up in new coronavirus cases. Something ain't right.
Yep. Yeah. And there's two things there. You know, people, you can listen to the politics and you can listen to the banter about this. You know, some people say, you know, more cases is good. That means we're testing more. That's true. But we don't want to see the percentage go up. We want to see that percentage go down as we're getting more tests. In other words, we're testing more people, but we're identifying some of those asymptomatic. And probably the most important numbers that everyone should be looking at is hospitalizations and ICU utilizations in these states, because those are the concerns that we have going forward.
So, you know, with people going into restaurants now, I mean, people can actually sit inside of restaurants now and go into bars right now, and they can go to health clubs right now. Would you do that? Do you think that that's a safe thing to do?
You know, I think you really... You have to trust the owners of the restaurants that they're going to do everything they possibly can to protect you. And if you walk in and the staff is wearing masks inappropriately or you're seeing people without masks, turn around. You want to go to a place that is going to be as protective as possible if you want to eat inside. If not, then, you know, eating outside is still good because you have the distancing as well as the air circulation. So I would be very hesitant to go into a restaurant that has sloppy ways of protecting you.
And what about other indoor, you know, a lot of stores are open now, you know, just for retail shopping. You know, gyms are open now. And I got to say, I mean, I know they're putting plexiglass up and they're trying to do what they can. That just seems like a petri dish of petri dishes to me to go into a gym right now.
Health clubs, I'd say, that's my biggest concern. You know, when you go in there, you're huffing, you're puffing. I don't care how well you try to clean the equipment after you're done. Even if you're social distancing, we have to remember, we picked social distancing or physical distancing to be 6 to 8 feet based on normal conversation, not someone that's huffing and puffing, which is probably going to be more to be 12 to 14 feet. So, I would say continue to work out in your own home, work out outside, but I would be hesitant to go to health clubs at this time.
So, you know, the cases are going up, as we had mentioned, 26 new deaths in Illinois yesterday, 786 new cases, 10 million cases worldwide, death toll closing in at 500,000 worldwide, 125,000 here in the United States. And, Kevin, as you mentioned, Florida, Texas, and what was the third state that you'd mentioned?
Arizona.
Arizona, escaping me now. Vice President Pence was, you know, supposed to go to two of those states, you know, to show how safe he thinks it is, and canceled those trips. What do you think is going on in those three states so all the rest of the states don't replicate it?
Yeah, I think, and this is Illinois' big chance. I think that if you know those three states, they opened things early. And they got to this point of being comfortable and complacent. And then you see the numbers jump up, and then we can predict. Once you see the numbers skyrocket as they did, wait 3 weeks, wait 4 weeks, and you're going to see your number of hospitalizations, ICU, and deaths go up as well. So very concerning what we're seeing across the country. Illinois is still in a good place, but the message to all of us should be, let's be smarter than they are in Texas, Arizona, Florida, and even North Carolina. Let's be smarter than they are in these states and continue to do everything that got us to where we are now. We will continue to see a decrease.
Is it all about the masks right now, or should there be more than that?
It's all about masks and physical distancing right now. And that's the part that's scary when we talk about bars opening and restaurants opening. You know, people are not going to, they might wear a mask in, but now they're not going to, you know. So they're not going to do it while they're obviously sitting, eating, or drinking. So we really have to be careful about the indoor dining, and especially in bars. Look at the numbers right now. We're starting to see this big pocket of 25 to 35 year olds who are starting to really start to test positive. Those are the ones that really have those social interactions and really are going to be our biggest problem.
11:22 now, Dr. Kevin Most is on the line talking all things COVID-19. One of the other disturbing stories that I've heard over the past couple of days, Kevin, is about airline travel. Most of the airlines are exercising safe distancing with passengers. They are not overselling their flights or taking their flights to capacity. But American Airlines has announced that they will book their planes to capacity. How safe is that?
Yeah, that is obviously a major concern. And I think, you know, their argument is going to be, is there really a big difference between one open seat and between people? And it's a concern. I can tell you, I fly, you know, regularly. I've flown a couple times down in North Carolina since this has started. And I fly Southwest, and that middle row is always open. It's kind of reassuring to me. And everyone is wearing masks. But, you know, if they're going to do any beverage service, which they're still doing, like water, people are taking those masks off, and you are not physically distancing. So you need to do everything you possibly can. Now, when you're talking about the flights being full and trying to get flights loaded and unloaded in a safe way, I have major concerns. And I think you're going to start to see people, the pent-up demand for travel is going to be another big thing that's going to concern us. The other thing, Dean, that's concerning is some of these planes that are coming into Chicago are coming from Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
Yeah, right.
So we have to realize that the world is a lot smaller, and we can't really close our boundaries to hot areas right now. And that's a concern as we get to see travel open up.
It's amazing to me how wearing a mask has become such a political issue, something that's just you know, designed to keep people safe, to protect others who may be around you. For example, one of our texts in from the 630 area code says the media have milked this panic on COVID-19. Should we also lower the speed limit to 10 miles per hour so no one dies in a car crash?
Well, you know, I don't know who did that text, but let's look at Houston, where we have hospitals that are approaching 95% of their ICU beds are full. This is a national health crisis, and whether people understand that some people it's going to be asymptomatic and it's not going to be a big deal, others are going to have a disease that is going to put them in extreme health-related immediate concern, as well as the long-term concerns of the impact it's going to be on their life. You take somebody with COPD that gets COVID and survives, but their lung capacity has decreased dramatically. Their life expectancy has decreased dramatically. So, you know, people say it's blown out of proportion. It's blown out of proportion until you have a loved one in the intensive care unit on a ventilator because of something stupid someone else did.
Yeah, here's Phil in Janesville, Wisconsin. You are on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, thanks. I appreciate all the insight from everyone here. Doctor, I really like the comment you made about looking at the metrics for hospitalization instead of just identification of cases. What are you seeing from Wisconsin, the neighbors to the north, of, you know, a case where there are, you know, lots of people walking around in settings more freely than in Chicago, and are the hospitalization rates proportional to the identification there? And my follow-up on that is, for people like you mentioned who have cases of COPD and things like that, should we be potentially pursuing more aggressive quarantining of people in specific risk categories and removing them from the general population in order to make them more safe?
Yes, I'll answer the second question first, Phil. Yes, you know, we have highlighted that over and over, that really the most important people that we are concerned about right now is that vulnerable population. And whether you're quarantining yourself or you're making sure you're as protected as you can the entire time, know your environment. So certainly, and those are also going to be the patients that we're going to hope to get the vaccine to in the first place. As far as your numbers in Wisconsin, unfortunately, you know that they're creeping up. You know, Illinois is unfortunately surrounded by states that are creeping up. Will we start to see your hospitalizations go up? I'm afraid that we probably will. Are they there now? No. But I think that we found some complacency in Wisconsin that might come back to haunt us here. You know, we still have the balls in our court. If we can control more of what we do over these next few weeks, as Dr. Fauci has highlighted numerous times, we're kind of at a tipping point right now.
What's the latest, Kevin, with vaccines?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The vaccine trials that are coming out, everyone's probably heard of Moderna. So they will start a vaccine trial for phase three, where they'll do 30,000, 40,000 people starting on July 1st. That will be available in Chicago. I'm not sure who their partner is in Chicago for that. AstraZeneca will start one in August. That's who Northwestern is partnered with. So we will start to be able to have slots for individuals who would like to participate in the phase three trial of this vaccine. Once you get to phase three, if you go 90 more days, you're going to find out, is it effective as well as is it safe? And at that point, then you're going to start to look at the potential distribution. I can tell you, Dean, one thing that's really fascinating to me is these two companies, as well as Gilead, they kind of bet the farm here. They are going into production with this vaccine already so that they will have, you know, 100 million doses or 30 million doses come October, November, right when the trial comes out.
Right.
So right when the data comes out. If the data comes out that the vaccine doesn't work, then we have a little bit of a problem because we already made all this vaccine.
Right. They're betting that it's going to be successful and they will be prepared for a mass distribution.
Yeah. The other fascinating thing that people don't understand as well is in order to put vaccines and medications in the vials that we do, you need medical grade glass. Well, there's a shortage of medical grade glass right now because of the potential of how many vials we will need for this vaccine that we didn't need last year. Mm. So there's actually a shortage of medical glass.
Interesting. Interesting. Team Hochberg phone line is 312-981-7200. David in East Dundee, you're on with Kevin Most.
Okay, doctor, question. You just brought up Houston, and no one's bringing up the protests, the funeral, the marches. There's not one news station, that's even talking about that any of that has anything to do with our numbers.
I'm going to interrupt. I don't think that's true. I've heard lots of people talking about it. In fact, I've heard every station and cable
Dean,
channel.
I have.
Wow. I'm telling you that I have. That people are talking about the fear of people in the protest marches and the looters not wearing masks and spreading the virus. I've heard that discussed.
Wow, Dean, I'm sorry, because I've been watching everything and no one was talking about it.
It's not
so
true.
I'm glad that you've
true.
Heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, that has been. But Kevin, to that that point though, you know, that is another area of concern, isn't it? Where there are masses of people who are out together, not socially distanced, not wearing masks, not taking precautions.
Yeah, and actually the medical field has tracked this quite well. So we're testing, you know, anybody that's testing positive, we're doing what we call contact tracing right now. So we are asking that question, did you participate in a rally? And if you did, where was that? We are not seeing the impact that many of us were concerned about, whether there is some physical distancing. And the other thing is, when you look at an exposure, it's got to be close to that individual for 10 to 12 minutes within 6 feet. That's our biggest concern. Mm. With these rallies, many people were in motion. So it's almost like you were outside walking. So really, the exposure is not as bad as we thought it would be, because we all were afraid we were going to see this large blip because of the rallies, and we haven't seen that. That being said, we still have another couple of weeks here though to be concerned about that, as the timing of this is usually it'll get to a healthy person who will then infect a vulnerable person who will then have a course before they get to the point of needing hospitalization. So really, we've got about another two-week window for the rally concern.
Still a good point, David. Thank you for the call. Fran, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hi, Fran.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking that call. So my question is, I've been in contact with people who are wearing masks, but they're not wearing them over their nose. Is that just as bad as not even wearing a mask at all?
Well, you cover about 50% there, right, Fran? You know, we're concerned about people mainly when they're coughing or talking. So that is going to actually come out of the mouth. But we also know that sneezing, and actually even when you're breathing hard, a lot of air comes out of your nose as well. So absolutely, people are wearing masks incorrectly. And I'll tell you, if you're at a restaurant, just politely say to whoever, could you pull that up over your nose? We're all trying to be safe here. But you're absolutely right that one of our big concerns is the way that they're wearing the mask. So is it better than nothing? Yes. And would a little subtle reminder say, hey, we're trying to protect us all the way, would you mind pulling that up over your nose, can be usually met without resistance.
Yeah, I was in line at the grocery store, you know, and we were all socially distanced in line. But some guy comes behind me, and he is right behind me, exactly. You know, he's not anywhere near 6 feet away from me, and he's behind me. It's not like he's breathing right in my face. But he had his mask down around his chin. You know, it's the famous chin mask that so many people are wearing. And I turned around and I said, you know, excuse me, would you mind pulling your mask up over your face? Because, you know, we're all trying to be safe. And I said, look, they made these marks on the floor so we know, you know, where to stand. And this guy looks at me like, you are the biggest jerk in the world for saying something. But I don't care. I mean, we got to be safe in the store, right?
We have to be safe. And that's what I'm talking about, Dean. We're going to get to complacency as we're in phase four. We have to remember, everybody does the right things. We won't go back. Because I'll tell you, if it goes back, look what's happened in some of these states now, where now they're going back to closing. That's devastating for the finances, for the economy, for anxiety, for our psyche. So we need to continue the track that we are in, but we'll do that if everybody wears the PPE appropriately.
Yeah, and wear it properly. Exactly right. Thanks for the call, Fran. Appreciate it. This is Judy. Judy, you're in Florida, is that right?
I am in Florida.
Oh, boy.
I have a question. I really appreciate Dr. Mohsen. He doesn't panic, which I like, but my husband and I are flying to Chicago. We're senior citizens in 3 weeks. We're on American Airlines. We booked the seats with one left open in the middle. I was asking if we should buy that seat, which we're considering, or in the long run, if it would be better to drive. We have to stop at a hotel because it's a two-day trip, and going to gas stations. I mean, which would you do?
Yeah, Judy, the beauty of driving is you control your environment. Even when you go to a gas station, if you have wipes, you can clean that off very easily. Hotels right now are really very good because they know what they're up against. So that being said, you know, if you are a senior and your husband's a senior, I would say if you comfortably can feel that you can drive, you're much better off. You're not going to get exposed to others. Even if you buy the seat between you, that means someone's right across the aisle from you. That means someone's in front of you, someone's behind you. I'm really hesitant to have seniors travel in the airlines right now. And I would say you're better off in a car. And even if it's a couple day trip, you know, I think you're safer and you have a much better controlled environment. So that would be my recommendation.
I can tell you because I'm watching the seats. They're filling up on American.
Yeah, they are.
Really
now, American
up.
Is going to give yeah. you American will give you the option to rebook, but I think you're still going to see more and more individuals just trying to take those seats right now.
Yeah, American is my it's the airline that I normally use, but I don't have any reason to fly anywhere right now. All of the interviews are being done virtually.
Yeah.
But I won't get on a plane unless there's the proper distancing. It doesn't make any sense. What about with the traveling? You know, if you're going to be stopping in hotels, Kevin, and things like that. I mean, do you just completely wipe down the hotel room? I mean, sanitize. If you're going to be doing that.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, don't, and nothing against mom and pop hotels and motels. I'm sure that they're great. But I know a lot of corporate America hotels, the Hyatts, the Hiltons, the Holiday Inns, are right on top of this, and they're cleaning the rooms appropriately. You won't have service into your room. But even if you get in there, you control pretty much everything. You want to wipe down the remote or not use the TV? You know, I think we have to realize, again, that 90% of the interactions are coming from person to person and not from touching anything. So that's why, you know, the airline where you'd be in high proximity with a lot of individuals going into the terminals, getting on the plane, getting off the plane, versus in your own cocoon, I'll say, as a car, where you really protect it, and then you get to your environment in the hotel as well, where I'll tell you, a lot of people, I'm telling them, pack a lunch. You don't even have to go, even if you're going to stay at a hotel,
right,
pack four or five sandwiches, and you don't have to worry about even going out to dinner. So then it's just the gas station and using the washrooms.
Thank you for the call. Where are you in Florida, Judy?
St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Where it's gone up, not as bad as some of the other areas, but I'm more scared now. I wasn't before, but I'm much more leery now going out than I was before.
I could understand that.
Yeah, and Judy, you have to realize, too, that when you're getting on the airplane there, you're getting on from a community that has very high rates right now. So even the chance of someone being positive is even higher as you're flying out of that area.
That's true. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck with everything, Judy. Thank you for the call. And Dr. Kevin Most, we always appreciate when you can spend some time with us to answer questions and, put some real medical facts out there. And with regard to my incident that happened with my mask, somebody texted in and said how nice it was that I decided to share my mask with the Tidy Bowl man.
I think you'll now learn to keep an extra mask in your pocket or in your briefcase.
Yeah, I have three masks hanging from the. I have like a little cell phone holder in my car. I've got three. Well, now two masks hanging on there. But I guess I should always have an extra mask on my person, no matter where I am, in case something happens like that.
And Dean, the other thing you might look at is what they call a gaiter. It goes around your neck, and you can pull it up over your nose.
Yeah. I need to get one of those or a couple of those. That's a good idea because that's easy to have and won't fall off of your ear at a terrible time.
Inopportune time.
Exactly right. Kevin, thank you as always. We really appreciate it. Dr. Kevin Most, Medical Director, Central DuPage Hospital, Northwestern University. Always good to talk to you. Thanks, pal.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.